Man, the title of my sermon tonight is The Bright Side of Coronavirus. The Bright Side of Coronavirus. I've always been a glasses half full kind of a guy, so I tend to look at the positive side of things. And the Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Psalm 118, 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So flip over, if you would, to Leviticus chapter number 26. Leviticus chapter number 26. Now, obviously, you know, there are people that are sick and dying, and that's sad, and I feel bad for them, and my condolences go to them and their families. But all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are the called according to his purpose. And you know what? There's a bright side to everything. And the Bible says that we should give thanks in everything. And the Bible says we should give thanks for everything. We should be thankful and rejoicing and happy. And so there's no reason to be gloomy about things, because there are going to be a lot of good things that come out of this, because there are always a lot of good things that come out of everything. Okay. Now, you say, well, what about the retirement and the 401k? I mean, the Dow Jones is crashing. Hey, didn't Jesus already warn you about that? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're not supposed to be laying up treasures on this earth. And you say, well, you know, thieves break through and steal. Folks, there are people who manipulate that system, and they ride it on the way up, and they make money when the stocks go down with the short selling. And they make options, they got the short options, and they're making money on the way down, they're making the money on the way up, and they're basically just stealing. The whole thing is a scam. The stock market is some total just Jewish concoction to just move shells around and steal money and be greedy. That's not a legitimate way to make money. Buying this, selling it 10 minutes later, buy it, sell it, buy, you know, two phones up to your ear. That's not what God meant when he said, by the sweat of your face you shall labor all the days of your life. That's not what he had in mind. Okay, that's not a legitimate occupation. That's not, God did not call you to do that with your life. You know, hey, God might want you to be a carpenter or a plumber, an electrician. He might want you to be a computer programmer, or he might want you to be whatever the job, you know, whatever the occupation, doctor, lawyer, whatever. He certainly doesn't want you to be somebody who profits on disaster and makes money off of other people's loss and just moves money around without producing anything of value to anyone. I just want to get that off my chest. But, you know, keep your finger there in Leviticus 26. Go to 1 Timothy 6. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, what the Bible says about this. And, of course, you know, I get passionate when I preach about the love of money, because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So, you know, when I look at the stock market and the stock brokers and that whole system of fake, you know, electronic money and paper currency and fiat currency, you know, obviously, it makes me mad, because it's a source of great evil in this world. What does the Bible say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. So if your retirement account lost $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, Jesus already told you that was going to happen. And that's why you shouldn't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, because of the fact that those riches are uncertain. So you can't trust that. You need to trust in the Lord and not in uncertain riches. Trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He says that they do good, that they be rich in good works. That ought to be your portfolio. You say, well, you got to plan for retirement. You know what? Here's how you plan for retirement. You do good works. You trust in the Lord. You invest in people. You bring up children, you wash the saints' feet, you relieve the afflicted, you diligently follow every good work, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If we raise godly children, if we're a productive member in the local church, if we spend our lives giving to others, helping others, being a blessing to others, we're never going to be in need ourselves. If we hoard everything and lay up treasures on this earth, Jesus Christ warned us that a lot of that stuff's going to just make wings and fly away. And the moth and rust will corrupt, thieves will break through and steal. Be rich in good works, the Bible says, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up, not treasures upon earth, but laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We need to make spiritual investments, lay up treasures in heaven, and no one can break through and steal those. That I don't have to check some kind of an app to figure out how my heavenly investments are doing. You know, oh man, we just lost, you know, 1,000 points on my rewards. No, because it's a really low risk, high yield type of a situation. So here's what I want to focus on. I'm going to go through a bunch of things that I think are the bright side of this, or good, that already has come out of this. You know, we're just getting into the beginning of this thing with coronavirus, and there's already some good that has come out of it. But before I get into those things, let me start out by saying this. Sometimes God will allow something to happen, something bad to happen, in order to force us to do something that we should have been doing anyway. So don't miss this. God can sometimes cause something bad to happen in order to force us to do something that we should have been doing anyway. Look what the Bible says in Leviticus 26, verse 32. Leviticus 26, 32. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Now, that's not good, is it? I mean, when the land's brought into desolation, that's a bad thing. But there's going to be a little bright side of this from the Lord's perspective. It says in verse 33, I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. So the children of Israel had been disobeying God's law. About every 7 years, they were supposed to have a whole Sabbath year where they let the land rest. And of course, modern science shows us that if you just use the land every single year, eventually you're going to deplete it of its resources. And so letting the land rest for a year and just letting it go wild and letting the weeds all grow and just kind of letting it go back to nature actually provides a reset or a reboot. Of course, God already knew that 3,500 years ago when he gave this law. Modern science is always behind what God has already known and explained. But because they disobeyed that law for literally almost 500 years, he puts them into captivity in Babylon for 70 years so that it could enjoy 70 Sabbaths that they missed, or basically the Sabbaths from almost, what, you know, 490 years worth of Sabbaths that needed to be caught up. So God's basically saying, look, I'm going to get it out of you one way or the other. I'm going to cause something bad to happen to force you to do something that you were supposed to have done anyway, namely resting the land. But this wasn't even in my notes, but even as I think about that story about the Babylonian captivity and this prophecy that it would happen, I'm thinking about the fact that even when God scattered the Jews into all nations, which was a punishment, am I right? But while they were scattered in all nations, you know what they brought with them? The Word of God. So God actually used a bad thing of them being scattered, a punishment, to actually spread the Word of God throughout the world. Not only that, if we read the book of Acts, when the Christians were persecuted, the Bible says, then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. And so even that persecution of Christians, which is obviously a bad thing, it ended up working out good because it forced them to be a missionary. They got out of their comfort zone and they went to all these different places. So let's go through the points that I have tonight about the bright side, looking on the bright side of coronavirus. What good thing has come out of this? Well, point number one, the schools are all shut down. The public schools are all shut down and people are having to do homeschooling. Now, some of us have been homeschooling all along, so this isn't even a thing for us. This is just another day at the office. But this could actually force people to look into homeschooling. People are being forced to experiment with homeschooling right now. Now, if you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And let me tell you something. The public school system is not training up children in the way they should go. It's based upon atheism, literally. You say, well, my kid's teacher's a Christian. Yeah, but he probably has all kinds of memos being sent to him about how he can't share his faith in class and don't teach creation and don't teach the Bible and don't teach about Jesus, right? And all the textbooks are telling you that we've been on this earth for millions of years and that we evolved from primates and that basically there is no God, but that the earth was just created by the Big Bang. Isn't that what's in the textbooks today? That's what you're going to find down at the elementary school. You're not going to find, all right, turn to Genesis 1 in the biology class. It's going to be all about an atheist or at best agnostic view of this world that says, hey, we can explain creation without God. Instead of giving God the glory, instead of worshiping and serving the Creator, we will say, hey, I found a way that it could happen without God. The Big Bang, evolution. And these things are not scientific. These things can't be proven or disproven because they're just speculations about a distant past that no one can test, that no one can try. And so the Bible and the creation story in Genesis 1, we believe that by faith. And guess what? The evolutionist, he believes his on faith too. Because none of this stuff can be verified or proven because nobody was around thousands of years ago at the creation to document it except for the Lord who documented it for us here. That's what we believe. And so that's what it is. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now look, people, because all the schools are shutting down, they're going to be spending more time with their kids. They're going to be spending more time with family. They're going to be able to fulfill this scripture where they're going to rise up and sit down for breakfast, and the kids are there. And when they walk by the way, and when they sit in the house, and when they go here, you know what? They're going to have their kids with them. A lot of people are going to be spending more time with their kids over the next few weeks than they have in a long time. Because all the schools have been shut down in Arizona now. Am I correct on that? Didn't you tell me that before the service? That every school now in the state of Arizona has shut down. Praise God. I'm for it. Shut them down. Never reopen. Just leave them down, you know what I mean? And look, people are spending time with their kids. And you know what? I know that there are kids in our church who go to public school. They're probably like, well, yeah, cool, party on, no school. You know, I don't think anybody's sad. Who here is in school and you're really sad that you, no, I'm just kidding. Look, I just remember when I was a kid in Sacramento when there would be a flood because there'd be tremendous rain sometimes. And you'd just be like, please shut down the school. Please shut down the school. Please shut down the school. And, you know, the flooding would get to the point. You're like, yes! You have to stay home and watch The Price is Right. Just kidding. But anyway, it's the only time you got a chance to watch it, right? You know, Monday through Friday, you're in school. But anyway, the point is that there's good that could come of this. God uses these things. All things work together for good to those that love God. And, you know, a lot of people that are estranged from their kids, they're not really spending a lot of time with their kids. Their kids are being taught in the public school system. They're going to spend more time with their kids right now. And that's a good thing. So families could be brought closer together. And instead of getting the godless influence of the public school, they're going to be getting more influence from the right people, mom and dad, right? They're Christian parents. But number two, the bars are closing down in many states. You know, I was seeing in the news today, hey, all the bars in Illinois are going to be shut down starting Monday night at midnight. You know, New Jersey, all bars are being shut down. Hey, I'm for it. I'm for shutting down all the bars. Proverbs 23:19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers. And what do you do to go to a bar? Or what do you go to a bar to do, I should say? To be among winebibbers. Look, you could just get drunk on your own, right? You could just go to CVS and get one of those boxes of wine and just drink some cheap box of wine from CVS. When you're drinking wine out of a box, you have a problem, all right? But anyway, new wine must be put into new boxes and both are preserved. But anyway, you know, if you just wanted to get drunk, you could go and drink wine out of a box in your house and drink your sorrows away and drink yourself into a drunken oblivion. Hey, I don't know about you. I have something to live for. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't need to drown my sorrows in a box. But why do people go to the bar? They go to the bar to drink with other people. They go to the bar because they want to be around wine bibbers. They want to be around riotous eaters of flesh. And the Bible says the drunken and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. I have no reason to ever go to a bar. I don't want to go to a bar. I'm not going to go to a bar. And so, you know what? No Christian should be going to a bar anyway, because the Bible says, be not among wine bibbers. How can you go to a bar and not be among wine bibbers? So the Lord's will is that we don't go. So the bars are closing down. I think that's great. You say, yeah, but they're closing down the restaurants. Well, here's the thing about that. And folks, I'm not here to debate with you whether or not the government should be doing these things, because I don't care. I'm not in government. I don't have to make these decisions. And you know what? I have enough in my life to worry about my own life. I don't always just sit around worrying about decisions that other people make. I have the serenity to accept the things that I can't change, all right? And so therefore, whether it's good that they're doing these things or not, I'm just looking on the bright side. Is that all right with you? I'm just looking at the schools shutting down and saying amen. I'm looking at bars shutting down and saying amen. And you say, well, they're shutting down the restaurants. But here's the thing. A good can come from that too, because people are learning how to cook from scratch. Now, turn to Proverbs 31. They must be learning how to cook from scratch because all the flour was bought up. Yeah. You know, when you go to the grocery store, there's a lot of food that's still there, but the flour shelf is totally empty. And I guarantee you, I promise you, it's going to be trending on a Google search. What do I do with flour? What do I mean? You know, because they're going to stockpile the flour. Oh, man, we got to get the flour. It's going to be gone. And then once they get it, they're like, okay, what do I do? What's next? You know? So women are going to be learning how to cook. And let me tell you something. Women need to learn how to cook. Women need to learn how to cook. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Look, the Bible's talking about the virtuous woman rising while it's yet night. She's clearly cooking from scratch. I mean, that's some intense cooking if it starts before the sun even comes up. She's obviously getting up early and doing some serious cooking. You know, this is a skill that women should have. If you want to be a virtuous, godly woman, you want to look well to the ways of your household, the Bible says, right? The Bible says that it's God's will for women to guide the house, right? And running a house involves skill. You see, Christianity, by telling women to stay home and be stay-at-home moms, is not downgrading them. By telling them not to go out in the workforce, but that it's better for them to be a homemaker. Now, I realize that's not everybody's situation, but in a perfect world, ideally, that's what God has for his will, is he's designed it that men go out and work and that women take care of the children and guide the house and cook and clean and so forth. And the thing about that is, you know, if the Bible talks about not eating the bread of idleness, but looking well to the ways of your household, and we see the virtuous woman here exalted for cooking, women should know how to cook. This is a good skill for them to have. Why? Because making food from scratch is more nutritious. So if you care about and love your family, you want to feed them what's best for them, right? And also, the Bible says that the virtuous woman will do good to her husband and not evil all the days of his life, and that he has no need of spoil. Because why? It's obviously a lot more economical to eat at home. Not only is it healthier, it tastes better, and it is good for you. And it's cheaper. You're saving money, because going out to restaurants can get expensive fast. And you know, some people, the reason why they don't have any money is because every day they're going to QT and getting something to drink, and they're getting a snack, and they're driving through this, and they're driving through that. And you could easily burn through like $20 a day in addition to eating at home. Just on the little package of donuts and the bag of chips and the Big Gulp and all the different snacks and things that are totally unnecessary. You know, you can make those, if you must have a fun drink, you can make it at home and bring it with you. And you can bring cooked food with you, or you can bring a sandwich or whatever. So women learning how to cook is a good thing. So number one, the schools are closed down. Number two, the bars are closed down. Number three, women are learning how to cook from scratch, evidenced by the fact that they bought all the flour and there's none left on the shelf. And then number four, professional sports are being canceled. Yeah. Amen. Now, you say, what in the world? You know, remember that Uber driver? He didn't like that very much. But if you heard that sermon. You know, professional sports are an idol for many people in this country. It's an idol. Like, they basically put that as the main thing in their life. Now, look, I'm not against sports. I'm not against sports. In fact, I love to play sports as much as the next guy. You know, I'm for getting out, especially with family and friends. It's a great fellowship. You know, one of the things I really like at the church picnic is when we play volleyball at the church picnic, or when we get together and throw a football around or whatever at the church picnic. I think that's great. I love going out and playing sports and doing these things. But the thing about professional sports is that it becomes an idol for people, where instead of spending time with their family, instead of studying the Bible or caring about the things of God, they can get so wrapped up in that where it literally defines them. I mean, I've been out soul winning and seen a house that was just painted like yellow with green trim. What did it say on the garage door? Green Bay Packers, you know, just a giant stencil on their garage. It's like, come on, your whole house is just this giant shrine to the Green Bay Packers, and you live in Arizona? Green Bay, Wisconsin is far away, okay? But I've seen that out soul winning. You see a lot of things out soul winning. I've seen vehicles where the whole vehicle is just dedicated to Green Bay Packers or the Raiders. Yeah, Raider Nation, you know, or whatever. Just gigantic logos everywhere, and it's all black and silver and everything like that. You know, you got to admit, people go way overboard on this. And, you know, I personally, I don't even like the idea of professional sports anyway. I would much rather watch sports played by amateurs, to be honest. Because of the fact that professional sports, there's so much doping going on. There's so much cheating going on. Steroids. And then there's gambling and there's cheating and all kinds of things. You know, I just think it's corrupt. The love of money is the root of all evil. You got just these players are just getting paid millions and millions of dollars. And here's a Bible verse for this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I'm not saying that sports are childish, but I'm saying idolizing a sports player is childish. This is what little kids do. Little kids, man, they get obsessed with this player and that player. They put up the poster and they idolize these sports players as role models. But, you know, if you're an adult and you still feel that way, you know, it's time to grow up and realize that there are more important things in life than sport. And look, I'm not against a little fun and having a good time. And if you're into professional sports, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just here to kind of rub your nose in the fact that it's canceled for a while. So, No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, look, if you're into it, I'm not down on you. But you know what? I hope that doesn't become some idol in your life that basically replaces the Lord as being the most important thing to you. Because I guarantee you there are people who can rattle off all kinds of sports statistics. They can tell you all the players of the Arizona Cardinals, but they can't tell you who the 12 disciples are. You know what I mean? They could list off all the Phoenix Suns players, but they can't tell you the 12 sons of Jacob. You know, they don't know the Bible, but they know everything about sports. Folks, that's all going to be turned to dust someday. 100 years from now, you're not going to care about sports. And I'm not going to care about sports. And even the athletic achievements that we have, personally, even if we went out and had some athletic achievement, it's going to be 100% meaningless at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be totally meaningless in the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to be totally meaningless in the new heaven and the new earth. And that Green Bay Packers house is one day going to burn with a fervent heat. Okay? It's, you know, when God pours out his wrath upon this earth. It's going to completely pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. And so that's closed. You know, there are a lot of other, and I could go on and on about other bad things that are being closed. Every Mormon church is closed. No Mormon church had services today. Amen. The Catholic church is closed. And you know what? How about the East Orthodox Church? I doubt they're doing communion today. You know, in the East Orthodox Church, they all drink out of the same cup. And by the way, that is not biblical, because the Bible says that Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. And you know what he said? Take this and divide it among yourselves. He didn't say, all right, everybody, let's all drink out of the same cup. That wouldn't involve dividing it among yourselves, would it? So I would point to the scripture, divide it among yourselves, that this everybody drinking out of the same cup is weird and unsanitary. Sounds like something out of the Dark Ages, okay? Drinking out of the same cup. No. But number five, people are thinking about their health right now. That's a good thing, right? Because people are thinking, hey, I better work on my health. And so a lot of people are probably quitting smoking. And let me say this. I guarantee you there are people in our church who smoke. You need to quit smoking, because this thing is a lung thing. And, you know, I hope this will scare you into quitting smoking, because smoking is bad for you. And I know that in a church our size, any sin I preach on, virtually there's somebody who's struggling with it. And I've known people in our church that were even very serious members of our church who even went soul winning every single week and were godly, dedicated Christians, but I know that they were smoking like a pack a day. And here's the thing about that, is that it's really hard to quit. It's not that they were bad people. It's not that they didn't love the Lord. It's not that they're just a baby Christian. It's just that that can be a hard thing for a lot of people to quit. But you know what? Now's the time to quit smoking if you're smoking, and take care of your health. The Bible says your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so people are thinking about quitting smoking, eating healthier. These are all good things. Number six, people are learning preparedness, right? People are learning to be a little more prepared. Now, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, obviously, any good thing can be taken overboard. And there are certainly people who go overboard on prepping. And they do just kind of lay up all the treasures on this earth, and they want to just make sure that they're ready to get through the tribulation with everything. And I'm not, you know, the Bible has a balanced view on this. I take a balanced view on this, because the Bible says, on one hand, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. So we don't need to get into an extreme prepping. But then on the other hand, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be on the earth. So it's obviously smart to just have a basic level of preparedness. And here's the thing about this. We should not live our life in such a way where any little thing goes wrong and all of a sudden we're just like, what do we do? Ah! And you know what? The fact that even just small disruptions can just completely wipe out our economy, I mean, that should tell us something about our economy, that it's built on the sand. Or all these businesses that are going to go out of business and stuff, it's because a lot of them are built on the sand. They're just basically running their business in a way that is just so just hanging by a fingernail all the time. It's just, you know, always one hairline away from crashing and burning. You know, that's probably not a good way to run your life or your personal finances. You know what? It's probably smart not to have a bank balance of like $3.59. And you know what? People who run their bank down to like $3.59, you know what? You're going to end up wasting so much money, because all it takes is just bouncing one check or just going into the negative one time, and the bank will just nail you with fees. Who has ever, well, I don't want to embarrass people, but I was going to say, hey, if you do go below zero, how much do you get hit with? 35 in your dreams. Hey, I'll admit it. I've accidentally gone into the negative before. I messed up on my record keeping. This was a long time ago when I was newly married and young and dumb. And I accidentally went into the negative before. It ended up costing me like $175 in fees. And then I went down to the bank and got them to get rid of like half the fees or something. And it never happened again. But I'm telling you, $35 is just the beginning, because it's like you're getting nailed from the person that you ran it with. They nail you. Your bank nails you. And then there's a fee for the fee. And then there's a fee. And seriously, like, it was like $175 because it's just like $735 fees. And it's like, oh, you spent $2 on your ATM card when you were overdrawn? That'll be another $35. And they don't turn off your card. I'm like, I said to the bank, I'm like, why don't you just turn off my card? If there's no money, tell me no. When I swipe it, I want it to say declined. But they're like, oh, sure, go ahead and get that stick of gum, and we're going to nail you for $85, you know. So, yeah, $35 is like a best-case scenario if you mess that up. So, folks, it makes no sense to live your life that way where you just have $3.59 in the bank. You know what? You should have a buffer. You know, it's good to have a buffer in your bank account. And by the way, people who run their account down to $1.27, you know what they have to do? They have to keep checking it all the time. And then they're just thinking about money all the time. And that's not good either, because we should meditate on the things of God and spiritual things and not just every day, money, think about money, think about money, think about money. You know what? That's why extreme poverty is not good and extreme riches are not good, because both people are just thinking about money all the time. That's why the Bible says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, right? So look, let us be in the middle where we're not rich, and so we're just obsessing over our money. And the Bible says the abundance of the rich will not allow him to sleep. It will not suffer him to sleep. He can't sleep at night because he's just thinking about his money. And then poor people, you know, are the same way. It's better to just build up a little bit of a buffer. And you know what you should do? You should, depending on the size of family you have, depending on what kind of spending you do, you pick a new number to be your new zero. Pick $500 and say, hey, $500 equals zero. So you never dip below 500. So basically what I'm saying is you have $625 in the bank. You know what you think about that is? I have $125 in the bank. And 500 becomes your zero. That way if things go bad, that way if it falls apart, you're out of work or whatever, it's good to just have a little buffer. I'm not talking about laying up treasures on this earth. I'm talking about leaving a portion for 7 or maybe for 8 because you know not what evil is going to be on the earth. It just makes sense to have a basic buffer. And obviously if your finances or your family are bigger than that, you'd have a bigger buffer. For you, it might be $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever that you consider the zero. That's how we've always run our church finances, which is why we never run out of money. We've never had any debt. We've never borrowed any money. We've never had a fundraiser. We've never asked for money or anything like that. You know, we just have money. One of the things that we do is we keep a buffer in the account. And by the way, when Bank of America shut down our bank account, you know what? It's good to have a little bit of breathing room and not just be on the edge all the time. Or what happens if, for example, you know, there's a church split and half the people leave the church? You know, what if I get up and preach some hard sermon and people get offended and leave, or some, you know, buddy creeps in and sows a lot of discord and false doctrine and splits the church? Hey, our church could split right down the middle and we will be just fine financially and just keep on trucking, okay? Why? Because our church is not built on this shaky, sandy foundation where we're just in debt up to our eyeballs, living above our means, spending too much, you know what I mean? We basically are being responsible financially. And so, you know, if you're responsible financially in your personal life, if you're responsible with the church, if you're responsible in business, you're not just going to be on this little herald. Well, if our doors are closed for 2 days, we're doomed. It's like, what? What in the world? Now, look, obviously, I understand that some business, and I'm not criticizing people if their business collapses due to this. But what I am saying is that when just tons of businesses all over the place are going to be going bankrupt because of this and all, you know, maybe they were a little too fragile. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what? I think, and let me just kind of just go off a little bit here. When it comes to this coronavirus thing, sometimes the medicine is worse than the disease. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease sometimes, right? And what I mean by that is that, you know, yeah, obviously this is having a negative effect on the economy, but you know what's going to be even worse is when the government fixes it for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's what's going to be bad, because, you know, everybody's going to be getting a bailout for their buddies, and all it's going to do is just bring in more socialism, more big government, more big spending, because it's like, oh, we got to bail out the auto industry, banker bailout, as if the bankers need a bailout. Burn, baby, burn. But, you know, oh, bail out the bankers. And then now, you know, it's going to be where I have to bail out the airlines. And then we got to bail out the bars and restaurants. And, you know, who knows who we're going to have to bail out. But you know what it is? It's socialism. Folks, things happen. Bad things happen. Businesses fail. Life goes on. You know what? If you, let's say you own a business and this destroys your business, I'm sorry to hear that. I feel bad for you. My condolences. But you know what? God's got something else for you. Maybe you'll get a new job. Maybe you'll get a new business. Whatever. But you know what? It doesn't have to be the end of the world. And we don't have to go crying to the government to fix it all for us. Okay? And so when it comes to this whole coronavirus thing, and here's the thing, we don't really know if this epidemic is even going to happen in the United States. We don't know yet. It remains to be seen. You know, it's definitely happening in other places, you know, where they're on total lockdown in Italy and everything else. You know, maybe it's going to happen here, maybe it isn't. But the financial stuff is going to happen because it's already happening. And what's going to be even worse is how the government is saying, like, oh man, don't worry, we're going to fix things, and we just freed up $50 more billion of spending and everything. It's like, you're $24 trillion in debt. Where are you getting this money? Oh, we're borrowing it from, you know, the Federal Reserve. And it's like, what in the world? So you know, they don't have any money to help you. Hey, I want the government to help you. The government doesn't have it. I have more money than the U.S. government. Because any number of months, if you have a dollar in your pocket, you have more than the government has. Because they have negative $24 trillion. No one's in that kind of debt. So therefore, we all of us are richer than the government right now. So basically, you know, the sometimes the medicine's worse than the sickness, right? That's why Hippocrates said, first, do no harm. And so, you know, bad things will come of this. But I digress, because this is supposed to be a positive sermon about the good things. Well, sorry about that. Let me catch myself. Let's talk about the good things, all right? It's supposed to be positive. Number one, school's out. Amen. Number two, the bars are closed. Number three, people are cooking from scratch. They bought all the flour. They have to make something with it. Number four, what's that? Yeah, they forgot the yeast. You know, you could, but you know what? You could actually make your own natural yeast. By basically, you take flour and water, you put it outside and just let it all, it's pretty fascinating. Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, did they buy the yeast? Did they buy the baking soda? I don't know. I don't know anything about making bread, so, you know, I'd be the guy who didn't buy the yeast. We'd be having unleavened bread at my house. It'd be like a really long Passover at my house. But anyway, you know, they're cooking from scratch. Professional sports are canceled. Well, you know what? Maybe that'll force some people to actually find meaning in their life besides worshiping the Packers or the Raiders or whoever. Okay. Number five, people are thinking about their health. Maybe they're going to quit smoking. Maybe they're going to eat healthier. Number six, people are thinking about preparedness and maybe examining how fragile their lives are, how maybe I should have more than $7.39 in my bank account, and maybe I should have more than 2 days worth of food in my house, right? So people are kind of thinking about those things. But number seven, people are reaching out to family and thinking about their elderly relatives, right? That's a good thing. People are reaching out to family, getting in touch with people that they haven't talked to in a long time, and maybe those could be opportunities for the gospel to be shared and things like that, especially when people are nervous. Leviticus 19:32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head, hoary is talking about white in color. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So we are supposed to respect the elderly. And so grandma, grandpa are worthy of our respect. And this is a good time to reach out to them, check in with them, make sure they're okay, do whatever we can to help them and be a blessing to them. And by the way, you know, that's why we don't need the government to do these things, because children and grandparents are supposed to take care of their elderly. Children and grandparents are to be reaching out to the elderly and taking care of them. The next thing is, and this is actually my last point, is that life is slowing down as people are staying at home. A lot of people are going to be staying home over the next few weeks. a lot of people have, who has already been told by your job, stay home, work from home, don't come in? Hands all over the building, yeah. The first person I heard of was my brother. He called me like a week and a half ago, or he actually texted me and said that his job was requiring him to stay home, even a week and a half ago in California, because they'd had a coronavirus case right there near them. And so people are staying home. Some people are working from home. Some people, their job is just totally canceled. The schools are canceled. And look, folks, I'm not saying that this is for sure going to happen or anything, but it's quite possible that we may go into just a total lockdown. Because that, in the places where this epidemic has broken out, that's what they're doing. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen here because the epidemic may not even really hit here in force, especially not in Arizona. We don't know yet. But in places like China and Italy, where it just was just going crazy and spiraling, and Italy is still spiraling, you know, they've just completely locked down, meaning that people, everyone's basically confined to their houses. Or they're allowed to walk. They're allowed to go for walks and leave the houses up, but they're not allowed to travel anywhere. All the stores are being shut down, except I think they're leaving like grocery stores open and stuff that people need, like pharmacy and grocery stores open. But, you know, all the other little stores and, you know, the Apple store is already closed down. Well, you know, what are we going to do? But anyway, so the point is life is going to slow down a little bit, possibly. People are going to stay home. And if our area ends up getting hit with this and it ends up going on lockdown the way some of these other areas like China and Italy have gone on a lockdown, well, then we're going to be spending a lot of time at home, right? And so make the best of it. And this is the note that I want to leave on. Make the best of it. You know, this could be a good time to catch up with family. Looking on the bright side, right? Spend time with family. Read your Bible. Catch up on a little Bible reading. Oh, I'm too busy to read my Bible. Well, God's like, I can fix that. You know, because remember in Leviticus, you guys aren't keeping the Sabbath? Okay, I'll give you guys a Sabbath. Leave the land desolate. It's going to rest. Well, guess what? Oh, you haven't been reading your Bible because you're too busy. Here, let me fix that. You're confined to your house now. And you got the Bible. And, you know, you better be careful because God might even shut off your internet and television. Then you're really going to have to read your Bible. Okay. And so look, don't take this opportunity, if you get stuck in your house, if you get confined to your house, don't take this opportunity to binge watch TV. Binge watching or whatever replaces TV now, Netflix or Hulu or what, you know, what do they watch? YouTube. Well, binge watch, you should binge watch. Binge watch my sermons. That's okay. Hey, binge watch the Revelation series. No, I'm just kidding. Man, I've had so many people tell me over there, they're like, I watched your whole Revelation series in the course of 3 days. I'm like, whoa, that's intense. it was like a Twilight Zone marathon back in the day. Remember those? Labor Day, Memorial Day? Who remembers those? A lot of people. But it's like, look, don't use this time to just binge watch TV or binge watch junk, right? Hey, spend some time reading your Bible, pray, listen to preaching, spend time with family, learn a new skill, read a book. You know, do things that are productive, that things that you should have been doing anyway maybe, or things that would be a blessing to do anyway, and don't waste the time. And don't get a bad attitude. You know, don't get a bad attitude because you know what? Bad things happen, and you know what? We're supposed to rejoice in all things. We're supposed to give thanks in all things. We're supposed to give thanks for all things. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't care what happens, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And you know, some people get mad at me sometimes for being too happy while bad things are happening. You know, sometimes people look at it and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you smiling and happy? You know, It's just honestly because I just trust in the Lord and I have the serenity to accept things that I can't change. So I'm not going to just sit around and be down. I don't mourn like those who have no hope. So when bad things happen, you know, I mean, somebody said to me recently, man, even if the tribulation happened, you'd probably still just be thinking, cool. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I would. You know, even so, come Lord Jesus. Now look, it doesn't help anything to just get scared. Fear's not from God. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Getting scared, getting worried, or getting angry, or a bad attitude. And look, I know everybody's coming out with all the conspiracy theories right now. And look, some of them are just whack. Some of them are just crazy. They're coming from like the flat earther types, okay? But, you know, but here's the thing. Some of the conspiracy theories, maybe they're believable. I'm not saying that they're all dumb. You know, I do conspiracy theories on like an a la carte basis. You know, you don't have to accept or reject all of them, you know. But the bottom line is that, you know, whether there's a conspiracy going on here or not, a lot of people are saying the virus is man-made. Okay, let's say it's man-made. That doesn't really change my reaction to it. Because can I go back in my time machine and stop them from making it? No, I can't. So, okay, it's man-made. It's not man-made. This is all just a big, psychological operation and it's a psyop to mess with. I don't know. I don't get. At the end of the day, though, I can't control those things. All I can do is make the best of a situation, right? I can praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, and make the best of it, right? And serve God and do the best of it. And look, I mean, I think it's pretty interesting today that when we just went over the soul winning numbers, they were pretty high. I was kind of blown away. That was. It seemed like it was like twice as many people getting saved as a typical Sunday. And so, hey, that's something to be rejoicing about. Praise the Lord for salvation for those people. That makes everything worth it. Oh, my stocks went down. What are you doing owning stocks? People got saved today. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. It's good. So make the best of it. Have a good attitude. And, you know, praise the Lord. Read your Bible. Pray. Spend time with family. And I will say this, and I know that with some people this is not going to be a popular opinion, but I'm going to reiterate what I said in my sermon on March 1st, 2 weeks ago. I preached this, and I'm going to reiterate what I said. And I know that this is going to be unpopular, and you know, especially you out in YouTube land, you're going to be unsubscribing from me for saying this. But bye. Only 129,000 subscribers left. What am I going to do? But here's the thing, is that, you know, if there's a quarantine that happens, I'm going to cooperate with it. You know, and whether that's popular or not, I believe in the principle of quarantine. I think it's a biblical principle. And if everything goes on lockdown, and if everybody's quarantined, and if we're confined to our houses for quarantine, I am going to cooperate with it. And I think it's fine. Now, look, if you disagree, then fine. But that's what I believe. And I demonstrated from the Bible in my sermon on March 1st on coronavirus why I believe it's biblical and why I believe that it's okay to do that. And so I'm going to cooperate. Now, look, I'm not going to cooperate with a forced vaccination. I will not be vaccinated. My children and my wife will not be vaccinated, period. But I don't think that's even going to happen because from what I read in the news, it looked like the vaccine development, they said, oh, it's like a year out or something. They'll roll out right when it's already going away anyway and it's already totally gone. They'll roll it out and then they'll tell us it saved us all or something retrospectively. So, you know, it's funny. I just read this week the guy, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Jonathan Edwards, died of a vaccine. Did you know that? Pretty interesting. Who's heard of him? That was required reading when I was in high school at the public school, by the way, in Roseville, California. Who had to read that in public school? Required. A lot of people, yeah. So he died from an inoculation. A lot of people died from squirrely inoculations. But the point is, you know, when it comes to quarantine, look, you say, yeah, but it's a conspiracy and they're preparing us for March. Hey, maybe they are. I don't care. I live my life based on biblical principles. And I can't worry about decisions that are not mine to control. And so I'm going to live on the biblical principle that does the government do a lot of bad things? Yes. And, you know, I disapprove of literally like 99% of what the government does, both Republican and Democrat. I disapprove of everything. I'm against virtually all of it. But you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because a lot of people have become so anti-government that they're just against government in general. And you know what? That's overboard. Any right teaching could be taken way overboard. And if you're just against government in general, that's not biblical. God ordained human government. obviously 99% of what our government does is out of bounds, and we disapprove of the socialism, and we disapprove of the government overreach. But now we have people getting so zealous and being anti-government, they don't even want to get a marriage license anymore. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Because you'll get the government out of marriage. Hey, the government should be involved in marriage, because in the Bible, God had marriage enforced by law. Why? Because committing adultery was illegal. That's why there even was a bill of divorcement and so forth, because adultery was illegal and actually punished by death under the Levitical law. So don't tell me, oh, the government should have nothing to do with marriage. You didn't get that from the Bible. You might have gotten that from some libertarian podcast or something, but you did not get that from the Word of God. So, look, I'm for small L libertarianism in general. That's my political philosophy. Libertarianism with a little L, not the Libertarian Party necessarily, of course, because I'm a pro-life libertarian. But the thing is, you know, you don't want to take these things so overboard that they trump the Word of God to you. The Word of God gives the authorities the power to shut people up for 14 days if they're even suspected of having a sickness, even if they don't even have that sickness. If they're suspected, based on the priest's judgment, he's allowed to shut people up for 14 days. So if the government says, hey, everybody, we're going on lockdown for 14 days, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on lockdown for 14 days. It's going to be like a little staycation. I'm for it, okay? So my point is, you know, I'm against a lot of things the government does, but I will cooperate with any quarantine or any kind of a lockdown because of the fact that I do believe it's a biblical principle. And I do think that it's possible that it could get to that point. Now, maybe it won't even get to that point. But you know what? Even if it doesn't get to that point, it's still good for us to teach and understand the Word of God and understand the principle laid forth in Leviticus chapter number 13. That's what I believe. And a lot of people will say, oh, you know, what are you going to tell us next? The earth's round? Yeah, it is round, okay? You're working for NASA. You know, you're working for the government. You know, you're blue-pilled or whatever. You know what? Look, half the time I'm getting attacked for being too red-pilled, and then I'm getting attacked for being too blue-pilled. You know what? At the end of the day, I'm a Bible preacher. I'm not just lockstep with your alt-right or libertarian or Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. That's not who I am, because this is my guidebook here. This is my platform. So you need to, and look, I'm glad you have political ideas. I have political ideas, but at the end of the day, this supersedes our political ideas. And so that's where I stand on that. I just want to make that clear. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for everything, Lord. We give thanks for all things tonight. We live in prosperity. I mean, if not having any toilet paper is our biggest problem, we're pretty blessed. Because as long as we have food and raiment, we should be therewith content, Lord. And so thank you for all the bounty and blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. And Lord, even thank you for coronavirus, because although it's sad and our heart goes out to the victims who have become seriously ill or even died or lost family members, Lord, we're thankful for the good things that are going to come from it. We're thankful for the souls that are going to be saved as people think about their mortality. And we're thankful for extra time with family, or we're thankful for any number of other things that are going to come from this, Lord. Because even though it may be bad for the country, and in many ways it probably will be bad for the country, Lord, we know that all things work together for good to those that love you. And so for us, it's going to be great for us because we love you. And so even so, amen. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.